Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll commence. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon our day so far. And again, Lord, we now come to your word and we would ask, Lord, that we would allow ourselves, Father, to just put away any cares or thoughts we may have. Allow your Holy Spirit to minister your truth to us. Lord, that we'd be encouraged and challenged at the same time, Lord, to live to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at this afternoon and then again next week at burdens. And this afternoon's message is going to be handing our burdens over to God. And next week it'll be about bearing one another's burdens. And if you'd like to open your Bibles to Matthew 11 and go to the end of the chapter there, we'll be just reading verses 28 to 30. When everyone gets there, we'll read it together because these are lovely, lovely verses. Matthew 11, okay, starting in verse 28, thus saith the Lord, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Aren't they beautiful verses to know? They're beautiful verses to take into our hearts and minds and to just rest our lives upon. And this afternoon's message is about handing our burdens over to the Lord. And the question is, what are burdens? Because there's different types of things we call burdens. And when we talk about burdens, we're talking about sometimes a heaviness of heart, a heaviness of spirit or soul, as our brother shared with us this morning. And those things that weigh us down, things emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Now, with that in mind, think about this. When burdens come, how do we handle them? When we're under the pump, how do we handle it? Do we handle them according to God's word, or do we try and escape them? I find, you know, the more I try to escape them, the more I complain. Amen? Amen? That's what happens, the more I complain. You know, but you know, the wonderful thing is, when we read these verses here, it's a wonderful thing to know that God knows our load limit. He knows how much we can handle. And it would be out of character for our great God to burden us without supporting us with his strength and his wisdom. It would be out of character for him to leave us on our own. And although we would like to eliminate our problems, what we must realize is that often afflictions can be God-given for our good. Amen. And how we deal with these circumstances, you know, how do we deal with them, the ones especially that are very difficult? What does the Word of God say to us about dealing with burdens? Well, first of all, what's a God-given burden? Well, when you think about that, you look in the Old Testament, we sometimes read that the burden of the Lord would come on the prophets. You've only got to read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, and others. And what that meant was that they would receive a divinely communicated message from God, and sometimes they would call it an oracle of the Lord, and it was given for the purpose of warning somebody or warning a nation. And the prophet, he felt that absolute necessity of delivering God's message to people. Now, for some reason, you and I may feel a strong desire to witness to somebody, to pray for somebody, to give to missionary work or pray for a friend in need. And that burden, that heaviness is from God. He wants us to do something, and he wants us to do that because he wants to work in and through us for his glory. And he gives us a burden because of that. Now, how are we to respond to a God-given burden? Well, most of the time, I don't know about anyone else, but I just love to get those burdens and throw them away. I don't want them. But God often places a weight on us to accomplish something very important in our lives. And you know, when we run away from God's will for our life, it always ends up in disaster. Always. And we need, whatever it is, we need to submit and obey whatever God is calling us to do. Now, God lays burdens upon our hearts to guide us, and that's why it's important to understand not all burdens are bad. Many of them can be very good because they direct us for God's purpose and His calling upon our life. You know, God's got a plan and purpose for every one of us. Now, there are other kinds of burdens because not everything's a God-given burden. There's self-reproach. That's a burden. That weighs heavily upon us as a result of sin. It can be extremely devastating. It's where we begin to condemn ourselves and blame ourselves. You know, there are also some poor souls out there. They've been taught wrong theology. They've been taught a theology where they experience false guilt. See, they can never measure up to what they've been told they can do. They've been told they can lose their salvation. Or they're told that, you just don't have enough faith. That's your problem. And these people become burdened down with thinking, man, I'm never good enough. Hey, God didn't save us because we're good. He saved us because we're poor and in need. Now, regardless of whether it's a real or false shame, it affects a person mentally, physically, spiritually, and in the end, it affects them, their health-wise. Now, there's some other burdens, unreasonable expectation of others. There's terrible illnesses that come upon people. Death of a loved one can also weigh heavily on a person's heart. In fact, there are issues people bear that we can't even possibly understand. Now, so how do we respond not to the burdens God gives us, but to the other types of burdens? Well, look what Jesus says to us. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." Listen, you want to handle the burden? If we want to handle the burdens correctly, then we've got to do what Jesus said. He is the only one who can completely help us. And he says there, come to Jesus, learn about Jesus, and have confidence in Jesus. He's able to deal with every circumstance. And his invitation here is inclusive to everyone. It's to the Christian and to the unbeliever. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. So the first thing, we've got to come to Jesus. You know, the first burden Jesus deals with is sin. Sin which prevents us from living eternal life with God. We may not believe we're affected by sin, but sin has a devastating effect on our life now and for many in eternity. And the decision we've made to accept the Lord has affected our eternal life. And if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ biblically through faith and belief on Him, then you have an eternal home in the heavens, and there'll never be a burden there. But for some, and I don't know everyone here, I don't know your situation, you could be here today lost. You might think you're saved. You look like a saved person, amen. You act like a saved person, well, in church anyway. But I don't know where you stand. But by God's grace, we can surrender our life to Christ, and He immediately deals with the penalty of sin, and He reconciles a person back to God. Now, living with sin is a terrible burden. It's a horrible burden, and it destroys people's lives. But Christ will handle it if we trust Him. You know, Psalm 38:4 says, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Listen, Jesus doesn't want us to carry the burden. He doesn't want us to carry it alone. And only He can set a soul free from the burden of sin. He came to set His church free from the burden, the yoke of religion. He's come to set the church free from ceremonial laws. He came to set people from the bondage of the tradition of the elders and the yoke it was upon the neck of the people. He came to show us a more spiritual way of worship, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But he came also, and importantly, that we could be set free from the burden of sin and its guilt and its power. And it's those people who recognize sin as a burden, all those who groan under it, those who are convinced of the evil of sin, of their own sin, those who are really sick of their sins, weary of serving the world, the flesh, and the devil, those in pain and can see the dangerous state they're in and fear that, like the prodigal son and the Philippian jailer, those who heard Peter's sermon at Pentecost, those with a contrite heart for their burden can have that burden lifted as they come to Jesus. They receive pardon, and if you're saved here today, you receive peace. You know, many times, ministers, they spend a lot of time preparing sermons, and sermons to make a deep impression on educated people and on uneducated people. But isn't it amazing? Many of the Lord's sermons are very simple. You know how this one starts? Come unto me. That's what it says. Very simple. It's interesting. You know, one of the first words you teach a child is what? Come to mummy. Come to daddy. It was one of the first words they learn is come. And Jesus says to us, come to me. And the invitation is given by our Savior, come to me. Why would he want to handle our burdens? Because he loves us. See, he doesn't want to see us living in bondage to sin and problems. He doesn't want the world to be on top of our shoulders, weighing us down. His invitation is given to us out of love, and we never have to fear coming to Jesus, never. He calls us to come. See, that's who he is. That's how he operates. He loves us no matter what we have done, no matter who we are. He invites all who are weary and heavy laden, all who are laboring under the weight of sin or the weight of the burdens of this world. He says, come to me. Now, Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will keep thee. He will give you the strength to keep going. Sustain, the word there means that God will energize you. He will encourage you. He will motivate you, and he will equip us all as an expression of his unending love for us. You know, when he bears our load, we don't have to worry about it because there's nothing God cannot handle. Isn't that amazing? Not one thing he cannot handle. There's not one pressure he cannot withstand. There is no weight too heavy for him to lift. There's nothing he cannot do. And he daily enables us to live with our burdens without feeling the weight of them. That's what he does. He doesn't say they're going to disappear. They're going to be there, but there's nothing worse than having the weight of a burden on you. But when you can take that weight off, it may still be there, but you can still press on. And that's what Jesus is saying. Come to me, and I'll take that weight off. It's a person's best interest. It's Christian's duty to come to Christ. You know, we have got to put away all the things that stand in opposition between us and him. We ought to put away all the things that are in competition between us and him. Because there's no other way but his way if you want relief. There's no other rule but his rule. And it is Christ and Christ alone that can save us. And when he saves us, only he can take the weight of those burdens that we carry, that heavy load upon our shoulders, and he takes that weight and enables us to walk the Christian walk. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what religion says? Religion says, first of all, you've got to quit what you're doing before you can come to me, come to Christ. You've got to abstain from doing this. You've got to do this. You've got to be that. You see, religion demands that eternal life and rest depends upon what you do and what you don't do. But Jesus says, come and I will give you rest. That's a promise. And for Jesus to deal with the burdens that we have, we must first come to him. And the blessing we receive, isn't that amazing, is rest. Who wants rest? Amen. We all want rest. Who wants to hurry up and get home and put their home clothes on and just lay down and have rest? No one put a hand up. I'll tell you, telling fibs. You're all telling fibs. We all want to do that. That's what we want to do, and he gives us rest. You know what we receive rest from? We receive rest from the power of sin. We receive rest that gives us the ability to say, no, Lord, I'm leaving this with you. See, we have a surety of his love and peace in our souls, and we must come to Jesus to experience that. Secondly, we've got to learn about him. Look at verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. From meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest again unto your souls. You know, to take his yoke means to surrender to him. That's what it means. It means to give him all your pain, all your frustrations, all your anxieties. It is to surrender. Sooner or later, as Christians, if we mean business with our God, we're going to have to put the white flag up and say, I can't do it myself anymore. And if we want God to lift that heaviness off us, we have to accept his yoke. In other words, we must submit our will to him and his will. See, Jesus just isn't a place where we say, oh, here's my burdens, I'm just going to dump them there and walk away. Instead, we give him our lives so that we can walk in tune with him step by step. See, we then begin to think like him. We look at things from his perspective. You see, the yoke of Christ, you know, I've yet to find a single yoke that works. All yokes are double, amen? We've got two in there. They're built for two. Guess what? The yoke that Jesus says, his yoke is built for him and you. That's what it's built for. Isn't that amazing? Him and you. See, there was a yoke, though, that only he could bear alone, the cross. But when he said, take my yoke upon you, he says, listen, I want to share your burdens with you. I want to lighten the load that you're carrying. I want to walk side by side with you and take you right through this. And he says, come, learn, and I'll give you rest. Now, the yoke in the Bible, it means a few things. One, it was an emblem of bondage or slavery. Lamentations 1:14, it was a yoke of punishing sin. Lamentations 3:27, there was the yoke of afflictions or crosses. You got Acts 15:10 and Galatians 5:1 talking the yoke of religious and legal ceremonies. But the yoke Jesus is talking about was salvation that he brought down to man. You know, it signifies obedience or uniting together with him. And Jesus said, listen, if you embrace my word, you embrace my doctrine, you embrace the message that I bring to you, you're going to find rest instead of burdens and afflictions and bondage. Listen, if you're afflicted by your belief, if you're in bondage to your beliefs, I'm going to tell you, pick up your Bible and believe in something else. Believe in him and he will take all that away. See, can we bear his yoke with him? If we understand what it is, we can. See, his yoke was a life that honored God. And we're told to walk worthy of our God. See, God, Jesus, with God with us in the flesh, living an honorable life to his heavenly Father. We can share in that. See, it was a life that revealed that God is a loving Father in a human sonship. We can share in that. See, it was a life that did the Father's work. We can share in that, amen? You know, the one thing I love about this church, everyone does something. Everybody. You always see when someone pick up a chair. I watch these young ladies over here. You don't mind me calling you young, do you? Who said I was talking to you? Listen, they just throw these chairs up and go, man, I'm just going to sit back. Everyone's got something. Everyone does something. Do you know that a smile is better than a sneer? A pat on the back is better than a slap in the face. Amen? We can share in that. See, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We can share in that. And as strange as it may seem, it is that lifting up and sharing of that yoke, the Lord's yoke, that brings that rest into our souls. Listen, we can be in no fitter position, no healthier position, no greater position of rest than to do the will of God. See, the way we take his yoke is it's the yoke of Christian profession. It's the yoke of Christian living. The yoke of Christian duty, the brothers and sisters, whether we understand it or not, it's the yoke of Christian affliction. And we're not to take it half-heartedly as a sort of must do. You know, I've heard people say sometimes, oh yeah, I'll submit, well, there's nothing else I can do. True submission is willing submission, not something else, nothing else I can do. True submission is bearing my cross and taking the yoke with Christ. Otherwise, we're just bearing it carelessly as if there was nothing in it. And I can't wait till the day I get to glory and truly understand what it meant to have my sins forgiven on that cross. There's plenty in that, amen. You know, surrender is the last thing most people want to do. But because our Lord and Master has only good and profitable things for us, we can trust him. Trust him to give us the wisdom, the strength, the peace, and the confidence to say, I'm getting into that yoke and I'm going to let you take control. You know, every command of God, you know, the Bible tells us not one command of God is grievous. So that means all his commands aligned with his love. The yoke of the world, that's what's heavy, is the yoke of this world. That's what's hard, is trying to live up to the world standard. That's where the pressure lays, because there's no lasting hope or trust in this world. But when we take on the Lord's yoke, we lose the heaviness, we lose the hardness, because everything he commands us to do is wrapped up in his unending love. You know, if we could take the who's been wearing these masks? Who wears glasses? You put these masks on, I'm going through town like this. I can't see anything. Nothing. I've tried special stuff on the glasses, it still fogs up. I wear the mask just over my lip now so I can breathe. Deborah reminds me, she says, that's not right. I put it back up and I can't see again. Now, if we could take the fog from our sight, we would see that the Lord's yoke is one that's of encouragement. His yoke is one of compassion and love. That's his yoke. Who wouldn't want to hop into that? Now, I was reading, according to the Bureau of Standards in Washington, I don't know what standards they have there, but anyway, a dense fog that covered a city seven city blocks to a depth 100 feet of fog. And that's probably around about 100 square kilometres. Amounts to one glass of water. That's how much fluid there is in a fog that big. One glass of water. Isn't that amazing? And they said that amount of water is divided into about 60 billion tiny droplets. Now, I don't care what you say, only a God could create that. Amen? Yet, when all those little particles settle over the city or the countryside, they can just about block out everything in your sight. And many Christians today are living their lives in a fog. They allow one cup full of trouble to cloud their vision and to dampen their spirits. Anxiety, turmoil, defeat strangles their thoughts and renders them hopeless. Their lives are being choked, Luke 8:14, by the cares of this world. In 2 Timothy 1:7, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And we should not let the fog get us down. We need to live in the sunshine, amen? When we begin to learn of Him, the fog burns away. Everything becomes clear, and it's a day-by-day walk. You're not going to live today on yesterday's victories. It's a day-by-day walk. It's a day-by-day filling of His Spirit. As our brother said, not quenching. I've been doing a study this week for a message on the commands given to us about the Holy Spirit. It's about entering the throne room of grace every day, and we begin to learn of Him. We begin to learn of Him. Now, there's two things He asks us here to learn about Himself. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now, His meekness. Now, the word meek here in this verse, it means gentle, and it's the only time it's used this way. You see, Jesus, He was kind. He was patient. He wasn't easily provoked. He didn't fly off the handle. He didn't have a temper, just like us, amen? No. And He says to us, He says, I want you to learn these things. I want you to learn them. You know, many teachers, they get frustrated and worked up when they have to deal with those who may be a bit slow or need a bit more time. But Jesus is patient with everybody. You look at His disciples. Look how He treated His disciples. Even though they didn't listen all the time, even though they were forgetful, He never went to the extreme of trying to make a point of how weak they were. You know, some people thrive on doing stuff like that, but not Jesus. He didn't make a point of how weak people were. He did the opposite. He kept encouraging them to do their best. And He says to us, learn of this. Listen, we too are forgetful. We too fail to listen to Him often. And He too still deals with us in the same way He always has, in love and care and compassion. And He wants us to learn how to be meek. You might say, oh, God judges people. I know He does do that. But listen, meekness does not mean weakness. Now, Moses and Jesus were meek. And in our text this morning here, the Greek used to describe, the Greek people, they used to describe meekness as a horse that's been broken. In other words, it refers to power that's under control. And we learn to be meek. We're also told to learn to be lowly in heart. You know, Jesus didn't go around choosing His disciples from the best universities. He didn't go around choosing them from the best suburbs in town or the best people. He taught those who were poor and needy. Guess what? It was the so-called wise who wanted him gone. All the intelligent people didn't want Jesus. But what he did, he reached down to our level. He sought each and every soul at their place of need. And whatever need you have today, he's in control of it. And he wants us to learn that. You know what? That will keep us humble. That'll stop a person thinking better of themselves and have them realize that Jesus came and reached out to all of mankind. It wasn't just for one class, one race, or one nation. It's for everyone. Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Anyone who's lost, he came to seek and save. And he wants us to learn what it means to be lowly in heart. Because, you know, Jesus sees every soul as precious. And we've got to be honest, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just don't see it that way. But he sees every soul as needing a Savior. And he's given us, who have accepted him as our Savior, the glorious opportunity of reaching out to these lost souls. So you see, the 99 are fine. It's the one that he wants to get. The wandering one who's lost and scared, the one with no direction, the one who needs to see Jesus, where? In his disciples. That's who he's looking for. You see, the lost in our world, in our community, need to see the character and the attributes of Christ being lived out in this world, regardless of how tough it is, regardless of what burdens we carry. They need to see us living with the Savior taking us through. They need to see the yoke of Christ. They need to see how it operates, what it accomplishes in the life of those who take His name as their name. And by that I mean bearing their burdens and living out Christ living in them. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. The last one is confidence in Christ. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Do you believe that? Really? Do we believe it? We're going to have to after this afternoon. You know, for a person, before we surrender anything, we've got to have confidence in it. And that's what Jesus says. For a person to surrender to Him, we've got to have confidence in Him. We've got to believe He is who He says He is. He can do what He says He can do. And He will do what He says He will do. And that means we're to trust Him and know that He is fully trustworthy. And the real issue for that is the relationship issue. See, there's to be no doubt about His love for us. And He wants us to love Him in return. Why? So we can live in peace, so we can have joy, no matter the burden, no matter the difficulties. And when we experience who He is, His love, when we experience a love that has no boundaries, we understand Romans 8. We looked at that last Sunday. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tell me who. Nothing. He gives a list. Tribulations. You know, I'm beginning to enjoy those, amen? Because He's going to get me through them. I can stand upon Him. Distress. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. He says, nay, in all these things we are what than conquerors? More than conquerors. Why? Through Him that loved us. And here's the key. Paul says in Romans 8:38, and there are four words I remind myself all the time was, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded about who Christ is? What He can do? what he will do. Because he tells us there, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, present things present or things to come, or height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't it amazing? And I've been thankful for this for my whole life. There is, his forgiveness has no limit. None whatsoever. He tells me if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he goes on, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or wash white as snow. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What a place to stand upon. Look at Romans 8:33. His character never changes. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. That can't change. Who's ever heard the words said to them, you call yourself a Christian? Hey, we still got the flesh to deal with, amen. But God never changes. Now, you may be here today and your burden may be a little bit too heavy for you to handle. Guess what? It's not for the Lord. He wants to handle it. Why would he ask us to come? Why would he ask us to learn of him if he didn't want us to come to him? So what do? We submit ourselves to him. We learn from him. He loves it when we trust him to take care of us. It's a delight of his heart to do so. But there's something we have to understand. He's not going to carry our burdens without transforming us into his likeness. That's what it's about. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's some wonderful, wonderful verses there. But have we read on? Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You see, we're called, we're instructed by the Lord himself to entrust everything to God, and he will show us exactly what we've got to do. So instead of using him as just a sounding board for our troubles, surrender our lives to him. As our brother said, soul, spirit, mind, and body. And only then we'll understand what it means to be carried in his yoke. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that it is you who calls us to come to you, to learn of you, and to have confidence in you. What a great God you are. What a great Savior you are. Lord, that's a simple passage of Scripture. And Lord, may we take it to our hearts today to learn it, to trust it, and to know without a doubt, no matter what it is we carry, you want to carry it for us and take the weight away. Lord, we thank you for being such a great God. And we thank you, you carried the greatest burden of all to the cross. The penalty and power of sin. And Lord, we look forward to the day you come back again and we're taken completely from its presence. Until then, Lord, help us to understand you will take the weight of our burdens for us as we come to you and learn of you. And Lord, that just always results in being confident in you as well. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.